T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
It's Loud and Local here on The Rock, doing the podcast thing, doing, it's called Loud and Local, the stay home sessions right now. I'm talking with Michelle Pinnell from Le Saboteur. Is that right? Le Saboteur?
Sure. You can pronounce it however you want to.
How do you pronounce it?
Le Saboteur.
Le Saboteur. Okay, cool. You know, I just sound like a jabroni when I pronounce it. And then also in a band called Flaunt. She is back here in the Northwest, had some time down in sunny Southern California. But first off, I'm going to ask, how are you doing these days? Because it's pretty crazy. How are you doing? How are you staying sane? How are you staying safe? Are you working? Are you not working? What's going on?
All right. So... short answer is I'm hanging in there.
Yeah.
I work at a reforestation company.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We reforest fire areas with drones.
Oh, wow.
And it's pretty interesting, and I like the job a lot, but I would have been on tour right now.
Oh, yeah.
If not for all this stuff. So, because we released our record, and we were supposed to do... support tour. But that all got canceled. So I've continued to work, throughout all of this, because we're considered essential.
Mm-hmm.
Forestry is considered essential. So yeah, I don't know. I'm hanging in there. It's hard, you know, to think about where we'd be each day, on tour and, you know, it's kind of the ultimate FOMO.
For sure. Well, where would you be right now, if you don't mind me asking?
You know what's hilarious is that our tour was going to start in San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
And end in San Diego, because when I booked it, I knew that it was going to be, you know, we were going to be out for a month, but I didn't know I was moving to Seattle yet.
Oh, okay.
So tonight would have been mid-tour.
Nice.
In Seattle.
Oh, well. It's like it wasn't meant to be. I guess so. I don't know. Was this with Le Saboteur or with Flaunt? Which tour would it be?
Le Saboteur. So okay. It was our record release tour for Ditch.
Awesome. Awesome is like my go-to retort to that, and I guess it's not awesome. Awesome that you released that record. Hell of a time to release an album, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, we considered maybe postponing it, but all things were go with the guy that helped us release it. So so we were just like, well, let's do it. And we sold out in the first day. It was limited run, lathe cuts, high def lathe cuts. And we sold out in the first day.
Congratulations. And I mean, we're all... at home, I think we all have a lot of time to listen to some music. So at least, you know, it's good that you put that out. And you know, now we get these stimulus checks coming in. If we have the means, maybe we could purchase it. But you sold out of it, so maybe we can't purchase it. What's the label that put it out?
It was sort of a collaboration. So it was us and Paper Street Cuts.
Okay.
So we split the cost. And Paper Street Cuts is run by Todd from a band called Scarecrow.
Okay.
If you know who they are.
I don't. Sounds like a cool name.
I don't actually like their name. I like their band a lot, though.
Fair enough.
It's a good band. very 90s throwback, which happens to be a thing.
We grew up in the 90s, so isn't it funny that everything's like throwback 90s? It's like, makes me feel old.
I love it. It was the best decade for music, and I'm happy to see it coming back around.
Hell yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, just talked about how, you know, you had this tour that was starting in San Diego and coming back to San Diego, and you didn't know you were moving to Seattle. You're from Seattle, right? Is that correct? Or the Seattle area?
I am originally from outside of Yosemite National Forest.
Okay.
And I moved to Seattle when I was 18 because I loved hardcore and I loved grunge.
Okay.
And there were both things were happening up here. So I said, I'm going to move to Seattle. I'm going to form a band, and that's just going to be my life now. As soon as I was able to be free.
Yeah.
What happened was, my mother had gotten sick, and, she had decided that because she lived in San Diego when she, was kind of at the prime of her life in the 70s, she was going to go back after she got sick and just kind of live it up in the last days of her life. So I moved down there. I formed a couple bands while I was there, 'cause that's what I do to keep sane.
Yeah.
After she passed, I made the decision to come back.
Wow. All right. Well, I mean, what was the decision to come back to Seattle? What was it about Seattle that called you back?
I mean, I spent a lot of time here, just kind of, you know, either making my reputation better or ruining it, depending on who you ask.
For sure.
I had a lot of fun, and I had a lot of close friends that saw me go through a lot.
Yeah.
And I just decided that probably being around those people was best for me at this point. But now I can't see any of them.
Yeah. Well,
so, yeah.
What was the timeline? When did you officially move back to Seattle?
Maybe 4 months ago. Soon. Recently.
And so Les Saboteurs is now a Seattle band? Is that a thing, or is it like half and half?
It couldn't be half and half because we're a three piece.
Oh, there you go.
So 2/3 of us are here.
Yeah.
And our drummer is stuck in San Diego for the time being. Mm-hmm. He's got some commitments to his family,
yeah.
Which are complicated, but I'm really happy that he's spending time with family. As somebody who's lost both my parents, I totally understand.
Yeah.
In a very big way. So, no better excuse, in my opinion, than family to postpone the move.
Mm-hmm.
But he is planning on coming up.
Nice.
I've got a room in this apartment that's ready to go for him. So whenever he does move up, got a drummer, and love him to death. Can't wait.
Are you guys going to be busting out band practices in your apartment and pissing off your neighbors?
No, we're actually looking for a practice space, but things are strange right now with,
yeah,
COVID. People don't know if they're keeping their spaces or not. A lot of people aren't using their spaces, but they also don't want other people in them.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, it's just kind of a weird world for people in bands right now, I feel like.
Yeah, I think... necessity is breeding a lot of creativity in people, and I think that it's also causing a lot of people to become stir crazy and stuff. Is there anything that you've been doing? Like, have you been like binging any TV shows, or like listening to old albums, or like organizing your house, or like, has there been anything like stir crazy stuff that you found yourself doing that you didn't think you would maybe get into?
You know, what's funny is I have been revisiting a lot of old records.
Yeah.
And I think that it's because it's a sense of comfort to kind of return to those things that like you really connected with in maybe times where it was uncomfortable before.
Yeah.
And somebody recently tagged me in one of those Facebook, like
10 album things,
post your influential album, yep, type things. And so I've been thinking about it harder than I would have otherwise. And it's been kind of a fun road, and thinking about those albums that brought me to where I am, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's do this. This is a question I like to ask, but since, you know, I was gonna do it later, but, you know, it kind of, we transitioned well into it. I do want to talk about, obviously, the album and your bands, but let's talk about that since you just brought it up. What are four albums that have been highly influential and positive for you throughout your life?
Yeah, so it's really hard to narrow it down. That's what I've realized this week. It's really, really hard.
It doesn't have to be like the definitive, just like four that you love.
Yeah. I mean, can I choose bands or just albums?
Sure.
It has to be specific albums.
Yeah. This isn't a gotcha question. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. I mean, really the first, like, real like heavy music that I got into was was hardcore.
Yeah.
And there was a band called Undying that I went and saw. They opened for Walls of Jericho, who I just kind of was like, oh, okay, this girl screams and I want to go see this band. And I was 15 years old.
Undying is sick.
Undying at the time had a male vocalist, this guy named Timothy Roy.
Okay.
And they were on tour, like I said, with Walls of Jericho, and they played at Mikey Hood's place. You know Hood's?
Yeah, yeah. Sacto Hood's.
yeah, absolutely. Because, yeah, like outside of Yosemite, that was like one of the nearest places to see shows.
Okay.
And so anyways, I left that show and I bought everything I could from Undying. And that was really the band that was sort of bridged the gap between hardcore and metal for me. So
nice.
It was a place where I could actually find that connection and kind of move over. Whereas I thought metal was kind of silly previously.
Sure.
So I'd say as far as musical taste goes, that was a one of those gateway bands that just really, really helped me out. And that band is also the reason I've been vegan for 19 years.
Awesome.
So, big deal for me. So I'd say probably, Whispered Lies of Angels, Undying.
Wow.
I'd probably say the Wipers in general have been huge for me. Sleater-Kinney have been huge for me. Dig Me Out, probably that record.
Yeah.
Was an album that really, showed me that a girl band could be interesting and cool and have neat riffs and some energy behind them. And then later they were kind of my gateway into the Go-Go's, as weird as that is.
I love the Go-Go's. Yeah.
Cause I never gave the Go-Go's a chance, but I remember one of them mentioned the Go-Go's in an interview and I was kind of like, well, I wonder what this is about. So that's kind of cool. And I don't know. I like silly stuff. I like They Might Be Giants, and I like Ween.
Ween. Okay.
Yeah. And the Toadies. The Toadies and the Melvins are probably my top bands of all time, just as far as like a span of a career goes.
You
know, just like from the beginning to the end of the career, those bands, every album they put out is fantastic to me. So kind of all over the place, honestly.
Right on. Well, I dig that. From some like vegan 90s vegan metalcore to like They Might Be Giants, you mix those together and you get Le Saboteur. No, I'm just kidding.
No, honestly, I mean, Le Saboteur was pretty well intentioned.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, it kind of wanted to be, you know, whereas my older bands, we didn't necessarily have an aim. Like we just kind of did it.
Yeah.
But Le Saboteur, you know, we were going for like a very 90s throwback post-punk kind of thing. And there were select, you know, our drummer really wanted to bring a lot of Joy Division into it.
Nice.
I really wanted to bring a little bit of Riot Girl, some Baruch Assault, like that kind of stuff as well. Even though most people wouldn't consider Baruch Assault, I'm saying Baruch Assault and Riot Girl.
I like
so
both.
To be clear. But yeah, I mean, it was just about, you know, bringing this kind of emotive vibe that people could kind of pop around to. And yeah, that's where we were going with that.
And what about Flaunt? So what's going on with Flaunt? So that band is you're still going on. You're still a thing.
Yeah. And still a band.
And what's the news with Flaunt? Anything? Why don't we play a Flaunt song real quick, and then we'll come back with some more stuff about Les Saboteurs. Is that cool?
Sure.
So what? How about you pick a song from Flaunt real quick, and then we'll check that out, and we'll come back with some talk about Les Saboteurs and one of your new songs. What do you want to hear from Flaunt?
Let's listen to Impotence, Hatred, and You.
Oh, my God. All right, I like it. All right, here's Flaunt. We're talking with Michelle Pinnell from Les Saboteurs and Flaunt. Be right back.
The golden shoulders, the decorative victor groups, drowning in compassion, fighting in vision holes. We are the golden shoulders, the decorative victor groups, drowning in compassion, fighting in vision holes.
Was Flaunt with Hatred, Impotence, and You? Was that right?
Impotence, Hatred, and You. But Impotence. The order doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. When you were down in San Diego, you were involved in both bands concurrently? Or
Yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What? Give me the, if you could, and I'm not trying to, like, you know, pit one against each other as far as scenes go. What are the similarities and differences between the San Diego DIY scene and the Seattle DIY scene?
You know, they both have kind of a hub. So I would say in Seattle, I would say the hub, in my opinion, would be the Kraken Bar.
Oh, yeah.
In Seattle. And then in San Diego, I would say the Tower Bar would be that place. And the reason why I say that is because it's a place that people go. The shows are always cheap. There's always a lot of camaraderie. There's always a lot of hugging. People are very supportive of each other.
Yeah.
And people go to shows just regardless of what's happening, right? So
yeah.
You get all the locals, and then you get random people that come in. So those two things kind of are the saving grace of each scene.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that Seattle has a lot more going on in terms of diversity, in terms of creativity. There are more genres spread across more venues in Seattle.
Okay.
San Diego is a small scene. It's a big city, but it's a small scene, and it's a conservative town. It's a Navy town.
Sure.
And so the people that are into extreme music, or even just music that you would consider underground, are kind of few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little clickier. It's a little more on edge and defensive, I would say. And Seattle, it's too big to be that way. If you make an enemy in the scene, chances are you won't see him again for a pretty long time. So, I think Seattle's, just honestly more of a Mecca.
Nice. Oh, right on. Well, I've only gone to San Diego for a vacation, and it was a nice, relaxing time. I didn't spend any time at the shows, but it's cool that you have that perspective, and now you're coming back to the Northwest with, I mean, and you book shows down there too, right? Like you were booking a lot of bands, and how did you get involved with not just playing shows, but booking shows?
So I started booking shows in Seattle, and I did it because I would go out and I'd see bands that I really liked and I wanted to play with them. So my old band, Ubik, I just used to just book all the bands I liked with Ubik because it's a party to me. And so I started putting shows together and I started a promotion company called Rad Goat. And I would have pretty crazy stuff at the shows. So I'd, you know, have somebody bring a trampoline or
oh my God,
a skate ramp built in front of the stage or a ball pit in front of the stage. And I would just try to make sure that everybody had the most fun as possible. And there were a lot of venues that somehow let me do that. So I had a lot of fun and I kind of gained a reputation here of just having like fun shows with diverse lineups. And,
wow.
When I moved down to San Diego, I mean, like I said, I was just kind of, I was there, because it was a weird circumstance, but the comfort that I felt in just doing the things that I knew how to do is what kept me going. So, and I was also a karaoke host in Seattle. So when I moved down there, I got a karaoke gig. So I became a karaoke gig, person, and I became I started a couple bands and I started booking shows just because that's what I knew. I'm not worth a whole lot in a whole lot of places in society, but those are things I can do.
Wow. So that's a question that I actually do like to ask people. And because you're so, experienced in the world of karaoke, I have to ask you, what's your go-to?
Oh, I have so many go-tos. As a host, you sing everything, because people come up to you and they'll hand you a slip of paper with your name on it.
Oh my God.
So you sing whatever people want you to sing, you know, you want tips. But I don't know. I really like Cold Hearted Snake by Paula Abdul.
Okay.
I like anything by Styx. I like singing, The Price by Twisted Sister is probably my favorite power ballad to sing. I have a lot of favorites. It depends on the mood. If a karaoke book has Piss Up a Rope by Ween, you better believe I'm doing it.
How do you that's insane that I can't imagine too many of them do, but have you ever seen an actual karaoke book that has a Ween song, Piss Up a Rope?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. My God.
I have a couple times. Yeah.
How do you become a karaoke host?
You know, I think when I started, it was a Chinese bar that had karaoke 7 nights a week, and it was a Craigslist ad.
Amazing. And that's in San Diego or in Seattle?
It was in Seattle. It was the Mandarin Gate on 105th in Aurora.
Okay.
I started hosting there, and I remember the owner was really sketched out by me. He didn't know what to do with me, but I would always bring punks in, and they'd never caused any problems, and they paid for beers, and so he just kind of put up with it. But he was constantly telling me to turn it down because one of my my styles as a karaoke host is to make it show volume. Because people feel like real rock stars in that context. So
damn,
we had some issues because there was a Chinese restaurant on the other side of the wall.
Oh yeah,
and so people up until I think about 10 p.m. people could hear us screaming, Pantera songs and stuff.
Oh my God, that's amazing! Wow. Okay. Well, you blew the top off of that question because I typically ask people like what, you know, your karaoke song, and they're usually shy about it, but doesn't sound like you're shy at all about that realm of things. Like, that's badass.
Oh no, you can't be shy about karaoke.
Oh my God.
You just can't.
If you were a UFC or WWE fighter and you were, you know, making your way to the ring and you had to choose a theme song, what would your theme song be?
Oh, I love this. Well, it depends on the character that I was portraying. Like I had thought of a, I have previously thought of a wrestling character that I would be, because I was actually training to wrestle for a bit of time.
Oh my God. Look at you. Yeah. Karaoke wrestler.
Yeah. I mean, that could have been my shtick, I suppose.
The karaoke queen. That could have been your gimmick.
but my character that I came up with was going to be, I wanted to be a heel. So I wanted to be something that, wrestling guys that go see independent wrestling would hate.
Yeah.
So I decided that I was going to be a raver.
Nice.
Like a candy raver, like come out unce with like those little furry hat, like animal hats, mm-hmm. and like candy bracelets and stuff. So if I did that, I would probably, I don't know what I would choose.
Sandstorm?
Sandstorm?
You know that one? Darude? Sandstorm?
No, I don't know. Maybe a Bass Nectar song or something. But I don't know. If it was just me as a person.
Yeah, you.
I don't know. I know that, I know Jamie Josta has been really pushing to get, somebody to use Hatebreed as an intro. So yeah. Maybe I'd do like I Will Be Heard or something like that.
There you go.
And just be a wrestler that yells at everyone all the time.
I did backyard wrestling in Kent, as you can imagine kids in Kent do a lot. And I came out to Hatebreed from...
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I came out to a song from Satisfaction. I came out to Last Breath. And I had JNCO...
Nice, that's awesome.
Yeah, I had JNCO jean shorts and pink Liberty spikes. And my name was Kevin Corner.
Man, I love it.
Pretty cool, huh? No.
I do actually think that's cool, but I'm a weirdo, so.
Well, I mean, you are the karaoke, punk rock, wrestling-loving, vegan, animal-saving, firefighting badass of Seattle from the San Diego, coming up to Seattle. I mean, I'm not trying to put you in a box, but that's a lot of cool titles, to own. I got to ask you though, if you could pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it, Michelle.
A scar on my body?
Yeah. Tell us the story of a scar.
Gosh. So I have like a big line in the middle of my forehead.
Okay.
That's probably hard to see via Zoom. But it was from a Negative Hole show. It was actually the show that I convinced people to bring mini trampolines to.
Oh my God.
and it was at the Josephine, people were hopping around and being really crazy because the mini trampoline was the center of the mosh pit. And I sort of like was crouching down and screaming, and I popped my head back up, and just in time, Elvis, you know Elvis, right? From Swamp Heavy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He was the guitarist of Negative Hole.
Okay.
So he takes his, Les Paul, and just smashes his headstock into my forehead.
Oh.
And I immediately start pouring blood all over everything.
Jesus.
Finished the next song. We were two songs to the end. Finished the next song and kind of ended the set. But then it was actually kind of a really good night because everybody was like, well, you know, do you need like a shot? Do you need some weed? Like, what do you need?
Yeah.
I'll give you anything. And I was like, hey, this isn't so bad. Because as you know, as somebody who has pursued wrestling, you bleed a lot from the forehead.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually hurt that bad because there aren't really enough muscles there to really be affected in that way.
Sure.
It just bleeds more than it hurts. So it was a pretty brutal night according to everybody else. But for me, I was just having a great time.
Did you get any pictures?
Yeah, actually,
nice.
Pam from Post Boredom.
Yeah.
Took a pretty great picture of me that night where I'm just smiling and bleeding out of my pulsating forehead.
Bleeding from your negative hole in your head.
Yeah, right? Nobody's ever said that, but that's appropriate.
So let's go down the gamut of how many bands you've been in then, because the first band I saw was Ubik. Had you been in bands before that?
Well, sort of. I mean, I had been in my high school band before that, so
okay.
I don't know how much that counts for anything. We never released anything.
You talking about like you're
sort of
an actual band? Are you talking about like a band and orchestra kind of thing, or like an actual like band?
Oh no, I mean I did that stuff too.
Okay,
so I was in a vocal jazz ensemble that went and played at Carnegie Hall. You know, we were
Jesus.
pretty, you know, we did a bunch of competitions and won a bunch of competitions and ended up doing these cool things. But then on the side, I had my band called Travesty.
Nice.
That was like, I remember we had a stand-up bass player who was really into Rancid.
Okay.
And we had a guitarist who was super into Metallica and Megadeth. And then we had a drummer that we just like kind of knew, and like he was into like Counting Crows and stuff like that. And then there was me trying to figure out whether I should sing or scream, being just like a young person. And I remember we covered like a local H song.
Whoa. That's
A Bound to the Floor, that song.
That's a good song.
We covered that.
That's classic.
Yeah, I think it's a great song, but it was just weird. It was such a weird mix of people.
When I was in high school, I played, I did vocals for this thing, and I wanted it to be like hardcore, you know, punk. Like I liked a lot of early AFI, so I wanted it to be like AFI.
Yeah.
And, the bassist wanted it to be like Tool, and the guitarist wanted it to be like Randy Rhoads, Ozzy Osbourne. The drummer wanted it to be like, pop punk, and then the other guitarist wanted it to be like Murder City Devils. And it did not turn out well. It's another thing from Kent.
It's if you're in a small town and you're trying to put a band together, just take what you can get and just learn from it, and then find the people that you resonate with when you move to a. But also, like I don't know, when I moved to Seattle, I joined Ubik, and Ubik was a weird band with a whole bunch of different influences too. So, yeah.
So we got Ubik, and then from there, was it Negative Hole, or were there bands in between?
Yeah, so Ubik, I lived in Seattle for 11 years, and Ubik was a band for 11 years.
Yeah.
And then Negative Hole was, I think, 5 or 6 of that 11 years.
Nice. And then you go down to San Diego and start Flaunt and Le Saboteur, or was there bands in between that, too?
There were bands in between.
Oh, what'd you got?
So I had moved down there and I had started a band with some guys from LA, and I was driving up, to rehearse with them. And they were kind of along the lines of, you know who Rival Schools are?
Oh yeah. Great band.
Kind of Walter Schreifel type stuff.
Yeah.
And I was really excited about it was really emotive and I could sing over it, but there was a lot of infighting that didn't involve me in that band, and they ended up kind of just fizzling out. And after that, I formed a band called Goldilocks and the Bears.
That's a great
name. It was kind of a L7 worship band that I played guitar in.
Okay.
And then that band fizzled out, and then I was in a band called Burning Hammer that was a D-beat band, and that ended just in the worst way. And then after that, that's when I focused on Flaunt and forming Le Saboteur.
That's awesome. Well, it sounds like you have quite the experience with like underground punk and all kinds of different sounds. And have you always had like a ton of confidence to just put yourself out there like that? Like growing up, like what was like the first inspiration to just like do it?
You know, I'm not totally sure. I know that when I'm afraid of something, I tend to move towards it, because the idea of being afraid of something really scares me more than the fear itself. And so I remember, like, in middle school, like, being told to, like, present things in front of the class. And I think it was, like, seventh grade or something. And I had to, like, present a collage that represented things that I liked. And it was, like, a lot of Bush stuff, the band Bush.
Yeah, Gavin Rossdale.
Gavin Rossdale and, like, a picture of his dog from, I don't know if it was, like, 16 Stone. Or he had, like, a dog named Winston that was, like, and I remember I had made this collage. And I couldn't stand there and hold the collage in front of people because I was shaking so bad that the collage was making a ton of paper sound, because I was shaking so bad that it was just like, it was just making this sound. And I just kind of like threw it down on the ground and walked out the door. And I remember just being so devastated that I was so nervous in front of people.
Yeah.
And thinking about my aspirations as, like, I wanted to be a singer, I wanted to be in bands, and I wanted to be this person, that was confident. And so I just kind of, I started moving towards that.
Nice.
And I actually got my start singing in front of people through a youth group band.
Okay.
I mean, obviously that turned out to not be a thing for me. I actually recently found out that the youth leaders at that particular church that I quit, because they told me not to listen to punk rock. When I discovered punk rock, they were like, don't listen to punk rock. This is, you know, this is garbage. This is the devil's work. We want you to burn all your records, this and that. And I was like, well, I don't think that's the God for me then. And I left.
They could have at least given you, like, an MXPX CD or something. I mean, there's plenty of bands, like, they could have just given you something, you know?
I did hear MXPX very early on.
Yeah.
I think maybe that was one of the move to Bremerton.
Yep.
Maybe that stuck, like, subconsciously a little bit because I ended up moving to Seattle.
Well, there you go. Right on. Well, let's talk a little bit about the record. Let's get into it. Let's go into the couple songs here. Le Saboteur is the name of the group, a Seattle-ish band now. We'll soon be three-thirds all Seattle, but two-thirds Seattle, a West Coast band, let's say, a West Coast band.
Yes, definitely West Coast.
Is it available on streaming platforms, or how can people purchase it? Because you just said that the pre-order was sold out. How do people check out the Le Saboteur record?
So we're on Spotify, iTunes, Bandcamp, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So you can find our music there. And we are going to be doing a regular run of records. We just did a limited edition lathe cut 10-inch. It's beautiful.
Nice.
Those are no longer available. So we're going to just release the album in a regular format pretty soon. So that'll be available, I would say, within the next month or two.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to shut my yapper, and because I know that you are not shy, I'm going to have you play the role of cheesy radio DJ. So I want you to be as cheesy as possible, and I want you to intro two songs of your choice by Le Saboteur from your album Ditch, okay? So I'm going to turn my, well, I'm not going to turn it off, but, you know, I'm going to shut up, and you can intro these songs in the cheesiest way possible, Michelle.
Hi, you're listening to Le Saboteur. First up, you're going to hear a song called Smiling Politely. Then we're going to hear Tightrope. Thanks so much for listening.
It's Loud and Local. Michelle, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Lost the key that they gave to you, that world that you
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.